This Mark Start Money Podcast. If the subject is about money and life or questioning the so-called experts on the subject, we open the conversations.
Welcome to the Smart Start Money Podcast. My name is Eric Flynn. Today, I'm going to answer the question, does everyone need a financial advisor? There are times when a financial professional can be helpful and they are worth the expense, but not everyone necessarily needs one. In this podcast, I'm going to cover five reasons why everyone does not need a financial advisor. The financial advice industry it's big. Everyone seems to have their own opinion, and financial professionals that portray themselves as experts always seem to say that everyone should have a financial professional manage their money. But does everyone really need a financial advisor? Now, today I'm going to give you five reasons why everyone does not necessarily need a financial advisor. And I worked in the industry as both a advisor and a technology consultant for a big brokerage firm for a number of years and worked with hundreds of different advisors. And a lot of times people don't realize that everyone doesn't necessarily need a financial advisor. And there's several reasons why. And it's important to find out if the cost of hiring an advisor is actually going to be worth the money. So what are some of the top reasons to not have a personal financial advisor? The first one I have on my list here is money. Now, everyone can invest and should whenever possible. However, like many things in life, the more money you have, the better service and attention you will receive. And this is no different in the financial world. There are more opportunities for better rates of return and lower sales charges for people that have money. Advisors will also tend to cater more to wealthy clients, giving them much better service. And this is something many of them will say is not necessarily true, but it is undeniable. If you don't have a lot of money to invest, getting the attention and service from an advisor that you need or believe you need may not be something that you can get. Now, advisors, they earn a living in several different ways, either through sales charges, a percentage of assets under management. They can also charge by the hour. And working with wealthy clients, it's the bread and butter of their business. And many advisors will not even work with someone unless they have a certain amount of money to invest. Many will also even still earn the same amount regardless of how your account performs. So if you do have a ton of money to invest and your account doesn't perform very well, they may just earn the same amount of money. So it really just depends. But if you don't have a ton of money to invest, hiring a personal financial advisor may not be worth the cost. And part of that is going to depend on the structure they use to bill you for their services. And like I said, there are different ways. Probably one of the worst ways is through sales commissions, because a lot of times what happens is an advisor will sell somebody something, they'll earn their sales commission. And if there's no more money to be made, the person either, you know, doesn't have any more money they can invest, then the service level will just not be there. And I know some people are going to deny that that actually happens, but it does happen quite a bit. Think of it from your own standpoint. If you have to work with something, but you are not going to earn anything off of it for making a living, why would you do much with it anymore? I mean, it only makes sense. So if you don't have a ton of money to invest, a advisor may not be the best decision. Now, another item on my list, number two, is finding a truly qualified advisor with the right experience for your situation can be challenging. And this is another reason not to possibly have a financial advisor. What many of the brokerage firms do not mention is it doesn't take years of formal education to become licensed in securities and insurance. It's how it works is You study for an exam, you take the test, and you receive a securities or insurance license. As long as a person has passed these exams and works for a brokerage firm, they can be considered a financial advisor. So it doesn't take, you know, years and years of education to get into the business. And because there are newly licensed advisors each day, many of them do not have much experience. So opening a modest account at a broker, if you don't have a lot of money to invest, will often result in having an inexperienced advisor. And this is due to the first reason, which is money. More experienced advisors are given larger accounts because they can make more money off of them. The new advisors often work with much smaller ones, and they're much less experienced as well. Now, although there is some training and licensing required to be an advisor, it does not always mean they know investing inside and out. There are always changes in laws and new investment products, and all of these can be very complicated. The fact is that an advisor does not even need to have a lot of experience or knowledge to have a large number of clients. And this is one fallacy a lot of times people believe when they meet a financial advisor, is that the person is an expert in finance. And this isn't always the case. I have personally seen firsthand with advisors that have no knowledge of a number of regulations, even though they should. And being a financial advisor, it's not first about investing, it's about relationships. So just because you go meet with an advisor doesn't make them an expert automatically. Now, they do have licensing, they do have training, but it really just depends how extensive that is, how many years they've been in the business. And if they're inexperienced, you actually may have more knowledge than they do. Just because an advisor has a large client base doesn't make them a good advisor. They may just be good with relationships. What you first have to understand about the financial business is financial advisors are first salespeople because they need to sell a person on investing with them. And that's really what it comes down to, is not necessarily they need to sell them a product, but they need to sell themselves as being an expert in finance and being able to help a person in that area. Now, I don't want to say that all financial advisors are bad. There are some really good ones. But finding an experienced advisor that will provide the service an individual needs will depend on the size of the account and the relationship with the advisor. Trusting the right person with your money can be, you know, a deterrent to having an advisor. The third reason to possibly not have a financial advisor is performance. Getting a financial advisor does not guarantee that the products or techniques they use is going to outperform the market. Just like you and me, a financial advisor will rarely outperform the market. If they do, by the time you add in the fees and expenses, it will often match or do just as good as you could have done on your own. While there are many so-called experts that claim they can beat the market, it's just simply not the case for the majority of advisors and individuals. Again, the industry is set up for people with large sums of money. These people have the connections to get the advisors with the inside knowledge to do better than most. And insider trading, it is indeed illegal, but I can tell you, don't think it doesn't happen regularly. People with wealth typically have power, and these people know people who run large, you know, publicly traded companies. They have the right network, and they're surrounded by the people, the right people, you know, ensuring a better success rate to beat the market averages. And this is just not something the average person has access to. Performance-wise, an advisor, you know, they may beat the market 1 year and maybe another year, but they're not going to do it consistently. And one of these statistics out there is probably a little over 80% of the time, most advisors are not going to beat market averages. And this even includes most mutual fund managers themselves. When you take in averages over a 15-year period, 80% of the time, over 80% of the time, most of these people aren't going to beat market averages. So hiring an advisor for the simple sake of beating the market, it's just not, in most cases, going to happen. And that's one of the problems people often take, they do, is they hire an advisor to essentially make them more money. In the back of their head, that's the way they're thinking. Well, if I hire an advisor, they're going to manage my money better. And that's not always the case, because most of the time they're not going to beat the market, especially when you add in the fees and the costs of having your account with a financial professional. And that brings me to the fourth item on my list here, is the fees and costs. Having a financial advisor, it can be costly in addition to whatever investments they sell you. And these fees, they are typically disclosed. However, there are often many fees that people don't realize exist. Advisors legally, they have to tell you about the fees and costs, but many of them, they're buried deep in the investments. And investments often have many people with their hands in the cookie jar, so to speak. And don't get me wrong, I understand the need for people to get paid for their work, but the fees often, they don't justify the work involved. Just to use an example here, I was once told by an advisor that being a financial advisor, it's the best part-time job for full-time pay. So you think about that for a minute. And the fees and expenses that a lot of financial professionals charge, they can diminish returns over time. Quite often, those fees they're just not justified in the work performed. So you take, for example, here, a advisor that works under an arrangement of assets under management. Let's say someone invests, $1 million, and they're going to charge a 1% advisory fee. So on that $1 million, they're going to get $10,000 for that year. Now, as the account builds, they'll still get 1% based on the account at the time. And that dollar figure is probably going to be paid quarterly. So with someone with a $1 million account, they may get more service. Now, someone with a smaller account, let's say you've got a $300,000 account and the advisor is charging 1%, and they could charge 1-2%, maybe 1.5%, but let's just say 1%. So at $300,000, 1%, that's $3,000 for the year. Now, on a $300,000 account, if they have a fee structure set up that way with a client, think about that for a minute. Now, the advisor doesn't get all of that money. It will depend on, whether they're independent or they work directly for a brokerage firm. The independents tend to make more money because they pay more of their own expenses and bills. But let's just say they got half of that. So that's $1,500. Now, on a $300,000 account, you might have one review during the year, maybe two if you're lucky. So that's 2 hours, and maybe you get a couple phone calls. So let's say on average 4 or 5 hours. Now, is $1,500 worth 4 or 5 hours? To some people, it is. To others, it might not be. So you just have to take the fees and the costs into consideration. Now, what I usually tell people with hiring an advisor is, like I said earlier, is it's not for the performance. You're paying for the additional services. And if you can't take advantage of those additional services, the money you pay may not be worth it. And what I mean by those additional services is maybe better diversification for your investments. And that usually means you've got more money to invest. It needs to be diversified better. Also, maybe you need the advice for tax-advantaged investments. Advisors do study a lot of this stuff, so they do have some of that information. But if you're not in a situation where you have tax problems, you probably don't need to understand and get into a lot of tax-advantaged investments. So hiring an advisor really is more about taking advantage of the additional services they can offer as opposed to just investing your money. Now, number five on my list of why everyone does not need a financial advisor is quite basically you can learn to be your own advisor. This isn't for everybody because, you know, everyone's situation is different, but there are a lot of books, classes, and additional information for people that truly want to learn how to invest on their own. You don't have to be a professional to have a good sound investing, you know, have good sound investing knowledge and success. Choosing low-cost index mutual funds are often going to do just as good or outperform many advisors in a number of investing situations for retirement and saving. Learning how to diversify investments and good general knowledge of investments will go a long way. And kind of the argument to this is the best person to trust with your money is most often yourself. You know, every person's knowledge, financial situation, and comfort factor investing on their own is different. If you are more comfortable having a financial advisor manage your money, there's nothing wrong with that. You just need to be aware that they do get paid for their advice, which there's obviously nothing wrong with that either. The importance of doing a thorough background check to get a qualified and experienced advisor is probably the most important first step if you do decide to use a financial professional. And one of the first things you can use is FINRA's broker check, which can be a good first step. If you don't have a sizable amount of and money to invest, you just need to be aware that you may not receive the attention you believe you deserve. Those are the five reasons I have to possibly not, you know, why everyone does not need a financial advisor. Now, financial advisors, this podcast wasn't intended to say that all of them, like I said, are bad. And they certainly have gotten a bad rap over the years. And some of it is deserved. You know, a lot of the schemes that run around and, you know, advisors getting into legal trouble in the news and things like that. But there are good advisors out there. And the podcast was really intended to show that not everyone needs a financial advisor, and most people don't need one. And those are the five reasons why most people don't. One, just to recap here, is money. If you don't have a lot of money to invest, you're probably not going to get the service that will make it worthwhile. Two on the list here, the big one is, this is a big one, I believe, is finding a qualified advisor with the right experience for your situation. It can be challenging to do. Now, everyone, because there's so many advisors getting into the business every day because they believe it's easy, and then down the road, not too long, they get out of the business. It's hard to find a qualified advisor a lot of times. And everyone seems to know somebody or have a referral of somebody that's in the business, but are they truly qualified to manage your money? Most of the time, I would say that, you know, who can you trust with your money more but yourself? And those fees and costs to hire an advisor, they're just not always worth the money. You can truly learn to be your own advisor with the right education. And it really just depends on, you know, on your finances and what you're comfortable with. But there's nothing wrong with taking the time to learn on your own. Much of the material is out there. And with the fees and expenses a lot of advisors charge, it will be worth the time for you to take to learn. And what I can say, if you take anything away from this podcast, is if you do decide to use a financial professional, you don't have to be an expert, but you do need to take the time to learn about investing. This is important to do if you even do decide to use an advisor, because you want to have some knowledge of what they're doing and what they're saying. You need to, like I said, you don't need to be an expert, but you do need to be knowledgeable in some of the areas. Thanks for listening to the Smart Start Money podcast. If you are considering hiring a financial professional, visit my website at smartstartmoney.com. I have an article titled 25 Questions to Interview Your Potential Financial Advisor That Should Be Helpful. Join me on my next podcast as I talk about how to deal with debt collectors. If you're currently being harassed by a debt collector, this is a podcast you're not going to want to miss.